Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 95 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. I am here with Mr. Richard Northants. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Great, mate, great.
All right.
You just went on a trip to Wales. It's the fancy name for Wales. So,
went to the Valleys.
The Valley. What were you doing there? Out of interest, you said you were working?
Just work. It was nothing exciting, I'm afraid. I'd love to say that it was fun and games, but... No, it was just sitting in an office doing what I do and just kind of, yeah, the day job.
Nice. So, but you did have a present on the way back. You did have something turn up on your front door when you came back.
I did, look, I had my new Mo Salah t-shirt.
Yay.
No? Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, are we referring to the LFC Podcasting Couch official hoodie?
Official hoodie of the Liverpool LFC Podcasting Couch. Oh, wow. I'm going to put on top of my, there we go. Now we're really, hardcore. Let me just see if, I've got this big ear popping out. Cool. So, pod cap. I'm trying to do it with my fingers. How do you do a P and a C with your fingers? That's impossible. Cool, man. What, you enjoy it? Is it comfy? Is it nice?
Oh, amazingly comfy. I think we should start selling them, personally.
Let's get a little bit more popular first. For now, I'm just proud.
Absolutely.
I'm just proud that the crew is, we got our gear on, we're representing. It's awesome. So,
my only concern is when I do this,
yeah,
I look like I've just become one of the apprentices on the dark side, and I'm just sort of stepping over to the wrong side of the force.
You're Darth Lake.
I am indeed, which is funny because I do believe. Did you not go to a Star Wars-y type?
Oh, everyone does. Yeah, of course. Yeah, amazing. Everyone has to. Were you a dark side one, or were you with the force? Were you?
Yeah. I was always with the force.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I was definitely dark side.
Really?
I remember when Darth Maul came out on the new one. I was so excited for episode 1, 2, 3, and they showed Darth Maul with the double sided lightsaber, and I was like, oh my god! And I went all nerdgasm on it. So
did you not find that you change depending on which episodes are out or what's on? Because I think Darth Vader was cool in 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
The Skywalker and Han Solo and the rest were way cooler.
Yeah.
But in the early ones of 1, 2, and 3, yeah. Actually, I kind of like Darth Maul.
Yeah. No, I always was more fascinated by the dark side. If that's some psychological thing.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
Made of this.
You rebellion scum. Anyway, it's all good. It's all good. Happy days. Hey, how about we kick this one off with the standards? Because I've gone all out, as if you follow me on Twitter, and given my predictions for the year ahead, why not? So I have chosen it based on Premier League, League Cup, FA Cup, and Champions League. So I've already put mine up. I'll say mine at the end. How about you tell me yours? Start with the Premier League. Where do you think we're going to finish up next season?
See, this is the problem, isn't it? It depends who else comes in between now and the start of the season. If we are as we are now,
yep,
and the likes of VVD and everyone else that we're talking about at the moment, I'm having a bit of a brain freeze. Keita.
We'll talk about the people coming in. Yeah, just assume.
Yep.
Assume what you like right now.
If we get both of them in,
yep,
if they come in, and your man Robertson as well,
mm-hmm,
and possibly the Ox, I think it's one of the strongest transfer windows we've had in a very long time.
Mm.
And I would then, based on what everyone else is doing, I think one or two.
One or two.
We either win it or we come second.
I think you have to pick one. What's your most likely? I think it's only fair.
Screw it. Premier League champions.
Woo! All right.
Exclusively.
And that is what Premier I picked. That's what I picked as well.
I think it's going to be a very, very interesting Premier League. You know, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, isn't there? How are Spurs going to react playing at Wembley Stadium rather than being back at their old ground?
Yeah, losing their linchpin in Kyle Walker. You know, he pretty much held the whole team together. I mean,
you know, I think that could be a big loss for them. How are other players going to bed in? You know, what will Man United do without Rooney?
Yeah,
save on Kate. I think.
Yeah, people are talking about all these big transfers happening and all these players coming in. Like, I think I've spoken about it in a previous pod, but the whole idea of having the chemistry going together, and if you have lots and lots of players coming in, lots of transfers, it does hinder your ability to play and to click for at least a season, usually. So I'm very...
Chelsea are going to lose Costa.
Yep, which is a linchpin, a real top player, kind of like us losing Suarez, essentially.
How many games last season was Costa solely responsible for them actually turning around and, you know, winning a game 1-0 or, you know, getting that little winner at the end?
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to happen. Who else did I hear was offered? Did I hear Matic hasn't travelled with them as well?
Yeah, he may be going to Man United. No, right? And again, with Man United, what are they doing? They're just going through turnstiles of player comes in, another player goes out, player comes in. They're just really... That to me, it just looks like they're constantly shooting in the dark, thinking that someone with a high price tag will get them the title or whatnot. But they're not doing what made them United, and that is build on chemistry, build on a team, which just stayed together for so long to such a point where they only brought in one or two top players every single season. And that's
what they're doing the Mourinho thing, aren't they? You know, he buys players, he gets rid of... You know, there was even talk of, I've heard Martial's moving on potentially and they're getting rid of him. And you just think, hang on a minute, a player like Martial shows so much promise, then all of a sudden disappears and goes to nowhere.
Yeah.
And you just think, well, hang on a minute. I think the big plus for Liverpool Football Club is that we have Jurgen Klopp.
Big time.
Who is an out-and-out coach. That's his thing, isn't it? It's all about the coaching. It's not about anything else. And I think if you look at other managers in the Premier League, there's less of that approach that's taken. And I think that's where the difference lies. And I think that's where I gain a lot of confidence because I always feel like Liverpool can improve throughout a season because Jurgen Klopp will take the time. And even if we're not performing very well, he'll be working on stuff and tweaking stuff. And we've seen, you know, even in the first two pre-season games, what's been going on. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like Mourinho's going to be turning around to a couple of his players and going, actually, look, tactically, this is what you need to do, or this is where you're going wrong, or actually we could work on this, or I think you'd work better in this position. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And I think that's, at least with Jurgen, I just genuinely get this feeling that we're always in with a chance, always going to be improvements coming somewhere along the lines. And I don't think we can ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. League Cup and FA Cup. We'll start with League Cup.
From a selfish point of view, I'd like us to go to the final on both because I get tickets for all cup games. So that's the first thing.
Genius.
In addition to that, I'd like us to have home draws the entire way through the tournament as well.
Yep, that'd be cool.
It's interesting again because where do you put your priorities? We've got to be focusing on top four.
Yeah.
That's a given. We need to carry on.
You mean winning the league?
Yeah. But okay. But even if we can't win, if we get to halfway through the season and we're 15 points behind or whatever,
yeah.
You know, you've still got to try and make sure you're ahead of everybody else.
Yeah,
and that's the key thing. So I think there's a lot of focus on that. I think he will play more the youngsters and maybe the fringe players and give them a shout. Certainly in the... what are they calling it this year?
Who cares? The Cup.
Okay. The Cup. The League Cup. So I think we'll have a good run. I think we probably get to the semis.
Yep.
If Klopp then decides to take it seriously and put his full team out, there's no reason why we can't go on and win it. Yep. But I certainly think we should be looking to go long on that. Mm-hmm. FA Cup, same thing again. I think it depends where everything else is in the rest of the season. If we're still in the Champions League,
yep,
which I expect to have a fairly decent run in.
Yeah.
If we are in the car, the driving, I went from Carlin to Capital One in the League Cup.
League Cup, yeah.
And if we're still in the Premier League race, then I think all of a sudden the FA Cup, as much as I would love to win it, goes down another notch.
Yeah.
And I think it still plays the kids. I think quarters, maybe semis in the FA.
Cool. Nice. I can't even remember what I said. I said runner-up for the League Cup, so in the final, and quarter-final for FA Cup.
Oh.
Yeah. And
my brother from another mother.
Yeah. So, you know, just exactly the same thing as you were thinking. I was just going, look, we have to play probably our weaker side, which I still think will be a strong side, but play our weaker side in the FA Cup. Because that's where we play against the League One, League Two teams and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we may bow out unexpectedly, but meh, that's a few less fixtures for us to worry about going into the business end of the season. So that's why I think he'll probably think that way. Champions League, what do you think? Where do you think we'll end up?
Semis.
Semis? Cool, I said quarterfinals. So quarterfinals.
I've got one better than Arsenal. That's my only thinking in
nice.
This.
Nice, yeah.
Let me just go one further than Arsenal and go, yeah. See, that's what happens when you get a top four. Klopp's buzzing for it.
Yeah.
Anfield is buzzing for it. I'm going to be there. I'm buzzing for it.
Nice.
The players will definitely be buzzing for it.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a genuine chance of a resurgence. And I mean, we talk about transfers a lot, and I know people are getting bored of it and everything else. I guess my point is, if VVD were to turn up, he's a seasoned Premier League player.
Yeah.
So he knows what's going on in the Prem. So he's going to come straight, and he's going to be, there's no way we're spending that money and he doesn't come straight in. I'm guessing he's going to replace Dejan Lovren.
Yeah.
Or potentially we go three at the back.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways.
Just saying.
I did put that 3-5-2 formation in with Virgil and Lovren and Matip, and people gave me shit. Oh, Lovren can't be in the team. I'm like, actually,
why can't he?
Can.
There's games when they turn around and say he's legendary. People need to make up their minds.
Yeah.
Instead of just hating on one performance or hating on a couple of games,
Yep. You
know, do you know what? Lovren isn't that bad a defender. Yes, he has his moments, but the thing with Lovren.
Yeah.
When he's only got one thing to concentrate on, he's very, very good.
Yeah.
When he doesn't overcomplicate stuff and he keeps things simple, he's very, very good.
Yeah.
And that's the problem at times, I think, that and whether it's because he hasn't had Matip alongside him and so he's felt that he has to overcompensate for other players in the defence, or, you know, whether he got Lucas by the side of him, or whether it was Clavan, whether he feels like he has to be more than he is.
Yeah.
I think that's where he goes wrong.
Yeah.
When he's got Matip alongside and he goes, right, I know what I've got to do because Matip knows what he's got to do, and I'll do my thing, he'll do his thing, and between the pair of us, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. I think that's where it changes.
For sure. I think I get what you're saying. I think he needs to stop thinking that he has to be a leader. He doesn't.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't have to be a leader. You just do your job well.
Yeah. Just go in, you know, and if it looks like it's a ropey position, put it in row Z. I don't care.
Yep.
And then we'll regroup and then we'll go again. What was interesting last season that we started to do was there was a lot of times where we would hit the ball long or when the opposition had the ball in their defensive area,
yeah,
we would press and we would attack in the main aim of getting the ball out of play for us to have a throw in. Because then it gave us that, it's almost like rugby, isn't it? You know, if you can go long and gain distance, sometimes that's as important, because what we can do is we can pin you back in your own area, and then we'll press, win the ball high, and then we're going to go in on goal.
Yeah.
And even if the throw-in didn't go our way, what we would then do is we would defend in an attacking formation, if you like.
Yeah.
So we would be giving them very few options to get the ball out from their defensive area. And we would press, make the mistakes. And then all of a sudden, instead of us having to play intricate football all the way up the pitch, what we're doing is we're just punting it long, then get up there, pressure, win the ball, go.
Yep. Perfect.
And I just think that, you know, we fell foul of that a couple of times when we fell into that area where they just thought, look, if we get the ball down to the defensive players and then pressure them, they will struggle. I think that's where Dejan Lovren struggled, because he was trying to pass it out. He was trying to play it around at the back. And I hate it when we play it along the back.
Yeah.
It scares the crap out.
Everyone.
You know, and what we actually need Dejan to do is just turn around and say, look, if you're feeling like you're in a bit of pressure, just punt the ball out, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Anywhere will do.
That's one thing that actually was one of my favorite moments of the Tranmere game. And it's sad to talk about now, because it seems like old mate Lucas is off to Lazio. But one thing that he did in that game, Milner was stuck in his own corner. He was fud-assing around with the ball, trying to make sure that it's kept in play, trying to do some kind of inside pass to keep it intricate and whatnot. And Lucas kind of just ran up to him out of nowhere, got the ball off him and kicked it out. Just like, can you stop? Just, yeah. You are under
just
pressure.
Stop.
Yeah. Under so much pressure, you're getting surrounded by players. If we lose the ball now in this dangerous situation, we could have a very bad situation on our hands. And all he did, he just ran in. As soon as he got the ball, he just kicked it out for a throw-in. It's just simple. When in doubt, kick it out.
Exactly. And I mean, how many times have we had this conversation about football is a really simple game?
Yeah.
It's a really simple game with very simple concepts.
Yeah.
You know, one side's attacking, one is defending. Yeah. The idea is that you try and stop the other team from scoring. And, you know, it's about doing the simple things. Find a man and pass the ball. Find the man and pass the ball. And once you pass the ball, get into space. Pass and move. Yeah. Always been the Liverpool way. And all of a sudden, we start trying to overcomplicate this. Just keep it simple, stupid. Just play the ball out. Play it wide. Find another man. Get into some space. And wow, have we got some pace
we certainly
in our
do.
Team now.
Speaking of, I read an article yesterday. Anyway, it was talking about, you know, do we need a bigger squad and so forth. And since we've only really brought in Solanke and the man you're talking about just then, you know, Salah, and because of the pace, I started putting together what I think so far strongest 11 is going to look like and the team that we're going to put out primarily for Premier League and Champions League, because not everyone can play every game, obviously, over and over again. So I was going to run this past you, what you think the strongest 11 for the Premier League and Champions League is going to be. Then I'll go on to, given that, what do you think our second tier squad's going to be and see if you agree. Should we get into it?
I'm getting comfy, so you crack on.
Nice. Okay. Front three for me makes itself. Some people will disagree with the striker, but Salah, Firmino, and Mane. What do you think? Hello, Rich.
Hello. So you're going Firmino, Salah, and Mane?
Correct, as the front three.
I don't see how you could argue that there was anything stronger.
Yeah.
Some will probably say, oh, yeah, but Sturridge on his day, et cetera, et cetera. Get all of that. But, I would have Firmino in all day long. I'm a big Firmino fan anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Wait for my signed shirt that he doesn't have anymore to be returned with his autograph on it.
So you agree?
So yeah.
Yeah, simple.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Well, who else is the other options? Who else have we got? So if we're obviously quite happy that Salah and Mane are going to be the two speed merchants.
Yeah, because then you can have Kent, Ojo, Sturridge, Origi, Solanke. There's quite a few. You can even have Coutinho back up in left forward as well. You know, there's so many options, but I went with the absolute strongest in my mind as Salah.
Me knows your man. Yeah, and he's going to get stronger this season. We thought he was good last season. He'll come even stronger this.
Yeah, cool. Midfield three. Now, this is where it's full competition. So I might actually go to the defense first.
Okay.
And go with the strongest at this point in time is Milner, Lovren, Matip, and Klein. And remember, this is Champions League stuff as well and Premier League. My only one is
we haven't got anything better, have we?
Yeah.
I mean,
I love Trent.
Your question is Trent. But Trent, I can I just say I've been really impressed with Trent two pre-seasons.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's been these two pre-season friendlies. I think he's been really, really good. But he's got a mistake in him. And I think that's shown in the friendlies. There's a couple of balls where you've just gone, oh.
Yeah.
And then there's other times you've done it and you've just gone, wow.
Yeah. His control is so good on those fast balls that they're swinging out to him. He just seems to be able to control everything except that one ball that went under his foot. That was it.
Exactly. Yeah, precisely. So, yeah, agreed. I don't think there's much. If you're going to argue anything, you're going to argue that Trent goes in.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, if you chuck Trent in, I wouldn't be slapping you around and saying, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, he's ready, or we need a different option. And just for context, what you said as well, he's been my player of the half for both halves that he's played in preseason.
Yeah.
So,
no, I'd agree with that.
Very much agree. Cool.
Yeah.
Minelay or Karius right now? I put in Minelay, but Karius has really impressed me so far in preseason. But for now, I think Minelay's got the job.
Don't even need to ask me that question.
Karius?
Anyone who knows me knows I'm a fan of Miggs, and you know, I think he's getting a lot of stick unfairly.
Okay, cool.
Um, So yeah, no, I'm quite happy with Mignolet being in there. I'd be very interested though to see both of the reserve keepers, if you like, get in there and have a few games, and let's see where they come out.
Yeah,
because I don't think it's by any stretch of the imagination in the bag, but I still do think it's a little bit early. I would certainly cup games. I'd rotate. I'd have one in the FA and maybe one in the league, or you know, switch it between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, Migs all day long.
Cool. Right, now I'm going to just remind you who our midfielders are. I'm going to say names in no particular order.
And I want, this will take a while.
I want you to choose the top three, because I know what my top three are right now. But okay, so we have Henderson, you've got Coutinho, you've got Lallana, Wijnaldum, Jahn. Those are pretty much it. Henderson, Coutinho, Wijnaldum, Jahn, Lallana. Potentially even Firmino at some point if you want to bring him back. But those are the standard midfielders. Who are your top three?
It's an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
I know, right? And we want to spend £65 million apparently on Keita as well? Cool. I mean, Keita, if anyone from the Day Trippers is listening to this. Thanks, Phil.
Anyone in Uzbekistan pronounces a lot like that. Keita. I like you.
I like Kieta.
Anyway, I like Kieta.
Sorry.
Nice man.
So who are your top three? Sorry.
Okay, Coutinho has to go in.
Yep.
Straight away.
Yep.
Without a shadow of a doubt. So he's there. So now we're down to two.
Yep.
Man.
You have Jahn, Wijnaldum, Lallana, Henderson.
Doesn't help, does it? It's like being Gruch. A kid in a sweet shop with all your favourites.
Yeah, Gruch as well, sorry.
Gruch will be a cup guy. I'm a big Hendo fan. I like Jordan Henderson. Mm-hmm. And I think he will play, and the reason why, and he will be my selection number two. If you notice in the friendly that we played last night, UK time, as we record this pod, there was a lot of ball going down the left-hand side and trying to draw the players across and then leaving space on the right. And with the pace that we've got, I think one of the key things you're going to see with Liverpool is that we're going to draw play down one side and then we're going to switch it very, very quickly over to the other side and get the pace and just leave teams in an absolute spin. And they're going to be like, well, hang on a minute. I don't know whether to go to the left and I don't know whether to go to the right. And if they decide, right, we'll go left and right, we're going to go, screw you. We're going straight down the middle and see how you like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think Henderson's ball control and passing ability will be crucial to that working.
Cool. So you got
that and you got a choice of Gini Wijnaldum, Emre Can,
Lallana, Gruch.
See, Lallana starts the press.
Mate, it's your choice, dude.
Thanks, dude.
You can do anything.
Screw it. Emre Can.
Emre Can. That's the only difference that we have. I had Lallana.
You've gone Ginny. Oh, you've gone Lallana.
Lallana, yeah.
See, Lallana, okay, my argument for dropping or not playing Lallana. do we need Lallana to start the press when you've got Salah and Mane hounding and chasing round for the ball?
I think Lallana's going to be an asset in any team in the world.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I just, do you know what? Who'd want to be Jurgen Klopp? Genuinely, who would want to be Jurgen Klopp? I'm just thinking that maybe what we need to do is you're going to need to solidify that midfield a little bit with so much going forward.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind that our defensive frailties potentially might be exposed.
Yeah.
My thinking is if you've got Hendo one side and you've got Can both in the midfield.
Yeah.
And they portray, and I think again Emre Can end of last season when he's only got one side of the pitch and one area to deal with.
Mm.
He can kind of handle that. So I think if you've got Hendo dealing with one side and Can holding the other, then actually, and you've got your back four, then potentially what you've got is quite a strong setup whereby both of them can do their jobs and actually Emre can get forward if he needs to and bully boy and get stuck in if needs be. Hendo One of my best ever moments in football was Hendo staring down Diego Costa and Diego kind of just backing away slowly.
Yeah.
I just, that for me at this time, if we then suddenly turn around and say, okay, Virgil van Dijk's joined. Okay, now my defence is sheared up a little bit more. Would I be as worried? Possibly not. Would I be more tempted to go with Lallana? Yeah, because I absolutely love the guy. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite sad in a lot of ways that we're having this discussion that potentially sees a scenario where Adam Lallana isn't the first name on a team sheet.
It's crazy, isn't it?
But positive in another.
That's what we should be doing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, so with the exception of Lallana and you had Jan, here were the subs that I had for that team. Karius, Klavan, Moreno, Trent, Wijnaldum, Jan, and Sturridge. That's a pretty damn strong bench. So I'll say it again. Karius, Klavan, Moreno, which is probably the three meh ones. But then Trent, Wijnaldum, Jan, and Sturridge. Much stronger than last season, even with just Salah coming in. So that's,
so you only want one attacking option?
Yeah, essentially. Wijnaldum can be, Jan can be, Sturridge can be. When Jan comes on, generally, it's towards the end of the game, and towards the end of the game, Jan's hardly ever playing holding. He's usually playing an attacking midfielder role. So, or box to box.
True. So if you're going to shut the game off, how are you doing it?
Yeah, Jan and Wijnaldum and or Klavan, bringing on Klavan. So there's so many ways of doing it with that.
Yeah, I must. The part that worries me is that our defensive needs bees, if, for example, Millie gets injured,
yeah,
is that we're potentially looking at putting Moreno in, or
yeah, what else
in the centre? We're then putting Klavan, and if we're up against pace in a Champions League, 20 minutes in,
yeah,
and we use a central defender, we're looking at putting Klavan in. That makes me nervous.
Yeah,
which again is another reason why I think we continue with this pursuit of, you know, bringing in a central defender, just yep, purely because then if you turn around to me and said, okay, so your back four was Van Dijk, Matip, Klein, Milner.
Yep.
And on the bench, you've got Robertson and you've also got Lovren.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I feel a whole lot better. Happier.
Yeah, exactly right. Anyway, we'll keep on with this story. Like, we'll talk about why we need the other players in a sec, but
okay.
The second string squad I put together. Do you want me to just read out my full squad and then we can discuss?
Read yours out and okay, I'll tell you where you're wrong.
Nice. I'll start at the back because it's less controversial. Karius in goal. Yep. Remember, I'm using nobody from the strongest 11. So I've picked a second squad altogether.
Yep. So I'm happy with that side.
Yep. Moreno on the left. Klavan, Gomez, Trent, Alexander-Arnold.
Happy with that.
Yep. It's pretty much all we have. To be honest,
well, which is why I'm happy. To your point,
yeah, exactly. Those are all our options right there. Okay, then a midfield three. I've got Jan, Wijnaldum, and Gruwich.
Yeah,
still pretty strong, isn't it? You know, so yeah. And guess who my front three are? Kent, Sturridge, Ojo.
What's your bench?
The bench: Minelay, Matip, Klein, Henderson, Mane, Coutinho, Firmino. I left Salah out.
Give him a rest.
I know, right?
So, that is afterburners cool down.
Yeah, exactly. Just a touch. So, yeah, it's, you take that team into a League Cup game or an FA Cup game because they are not starting for the Premier League and Champions League games. I think it's still going to be quite competitive, with the exception of Moreno and Klavan. But Moreno still has his day. Klavan has his day as well. There's a few games last season where Klavan was actually undroppable, and people seem to forget that. So they can definitely have their day. Kent
and,
sorry?
Go.
I was going to say Kent and Ojo is the other question mark as well. We're relying on two young wingers to win us knockout games. So, you know, what do you do? And also leaves no space for Solanke and Origi and all those kind of guys. He's not on any team.
Right, okay. Then that's where my problem with your side lies, because I would like to see Solanke in that second string team.
Yeah. And I put him in. I put in Firmino because I went with the strongest possible second string team. So Firmino's on the bench. you know, bring on the
Firmino's in your first team, isn't he?
Yeah, that's why he's on the bench. I mean, you would assume that if you're picking a whole bunch of randoms, if you're putting a whole bunch of randoms starting, then you do what we did against Stoke and put really strong players in the bench and bring them on if need be. I'd much prefer to see a Firmino come on in a pressure knockout game than Solanke, to be honest. So that's the reason why. Of course, if you wanted to change the whole team around, it makes it a lot easier to pick a second string squad. But yeah, I was trying to think of a second string squad which still has options to win a game.
So your front three, sorry, was Sturridge, Kent, and...
Ojo.
No, Joe. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I would either like to AC Solanke on somewhere in that, and potentially drop one of the others onto the bench and give Firmino a rest. I think it's quite interesting this season. I totally expect Klopp to have pretty much two teams.
Yeah, me too.
And I think depending on where we are and what we're playing. So if we're playing the Champions League game on a Tuesday, I would expect that he would play a lot of the second string. I hate to call it that because they're a lot better than that. His second option in those games if we're away at Stoke or whatever.
Yeah, I
can't see him turning around and going, right, okay, we're playing full strength. We're all going gung-ho for it. And, oh, by the way, lads, you got another game in 2 days.
Exactly. Hey, and speaking of second string squads, because the whole point of my article was we had to trim a lot of the fat, and that's why our squad was a lot smaller. Which may have been to our detriment when we really needed players in the Jan-February mark. But I'm going to read out to you the 12 players that we sold and or let go last season, and I want you to tell me if any of these players could have been useful or you would have wanted last year. Samad Yesel, Mario Balotelli, Kolo Touré, João Carlos Teixeira, Brad Smith, Luis Alberto, Thiago Ilori, Martin Skrtel, Joe Allen, Jordan Ibe, Christian Benteke. And it's totally cool if you did think that one or two of those players could have been useful. Do you have anyone?
Benteke could have been if we actually played to his strengths and his styles, and we didn't. So therefore, he becomes no good.
Yeah.
I think anyone who looked at that signing turned around and went, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Never made sense. We couldn't cross the ball for Toffee. So why have you got someone in there who's good with his head?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just, you know, it's like having a really good runner and putting him on a bike. why would you even do that?
Yeah. It's like,
see, I liked Wee Joe. I did like Wee Joe.
Yep.
Are we better now without him? I think we are. So again, I'm not worried about him. The others, I can barely even remember them, which probably shows how little use they were to us whatsoever.
Yeah.
The
main question would be, do you think any of those players would have helped us during the Jan-Feb mark? Or point of last season, should I say?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Our problem was breaking down teams.
Yeah.
Did we, Joe, ever break down single-handedly a team on his own?
No.
And we still could cross, so there's no point having Benteke up front.
Yeah, I mean, Benteke would have probably only been useful at all the entire season during January, February, but he wouldn't have played at all in the first 6 months, and he probably wouldn't have played at all in the last 2 or 3 months either. So
And he's another player that needed a run of games in so many ways. In the same way as I think Origi's took a lot of unfair stick.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard for a player like Divock, and I think for all strikers, to be fair, and this is probably partly where Sturridge struggles occasionally as well. If you're not getting regular runs, if you're not getting regular game time, you're not scoring, confidence drops. It's very hard to come in as a striker and, you know, here's 20 minutes, go and change the game because no one else on the pitch who's been playing for the last 70 has been able to.
Yeah.
And then we kind of lambast them and beat them up and say they're rubbish and they're not the player they should be.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it's very difficult, isn't it? And I think, you know, this is where this season is going to help us so much. And I think Divock Origi, again, this season, I expect him to push on. Maybe some people think he took a step back last season. I think personally, because he didn't play, that was his issue. Yeah. Now we put him into the League Cup. Now we put him into the FA Cup. Now we start playing him in games against maybe the lesser sides and resting players. that's where the difference comes in. And I think we will get back to seeing the Divock Origi that everyone was like, wow, we might actually have a talent on our hands.
Yeah, definitely. He needs to just take a bit, sit down, just realize what he did. And I bet he spent a lot of his summer just analyzing footage, seeing what he could have done better. So
absolutely. And the answer is stop running in the opposite direction to the rest of the team with the ball.
Exactly right. And stop when you're off the ball. Yeah, we've spoken about this before as well. Every time we've got the ball and it's near the halfway line, don't try and run off your defender. Maybe come back and receive it.
Absolutely. That will absolutely work. And I mean, and I can't even believe that you mentioned Balotelli. I mean, you're telling me you've got a shirt with his name on it or something. Yeah, you know, it's painful. Just, why would we even?
I had high hopes that he would be a savior. Like, I just, yeah, you know, I'm going to swear a bit. I'm sorry if anyone who doesn't like swearing. I like pricks. I really do. I like guys who are not afraid to just be a tool on the field. So I wanted him to have a bit of a thing about him. That would have been awesome. But he didn't show it. He did it. Did nothing. Anyway, all good. So that was the whole point. Just to show, okay, great, we got rid of all these players. Now we have to build up our team again. Thinking about to that strong team, and you picked Coutinho, Jan, and Henderson. Who gets dropped if we get Chieta into the team?
I think we don't sign an extension for Chan.
Dun, dun, dun. He goes off to Uwe.
I think so. What else do we do?
So your starting midfielder you picked in the strongest 11, you're going to get rid of. From the club.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Because it's about upgrading, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about upgrading. Or if not, then what you're doing... I mean, let's face it, we know that Emre Can's problem isn't money. It's about game time.
Yeah.
The likes of Naby Keita coming in doesn't do much for the amount of game time potentially that he's going to get.
Yeah.
And if we believe, and I'd like to say this is from James Pearce of the Liverpool Echo, so this isn't me spouting ITK stuff because I, same as you, I know nothing other than what I read. And when I read stuff, to be honest with you, I read the trusted sources. I don't even, there's even certain red top tabloids that I don't even believe when they come out with stuff. Anyone who sees a headline from the Metro, by the way,
just stop.
Take it. Just stop. Take it as written. It's never going to happen. All right.
Yeah. Just go to sleep.
That rag has no clue whatsoever what's going on in the world of football. They barely know what's going on in their own office. Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's in the Metro, just forget about it, all right?
Yeah.
But this is coming from James Pearce of the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, definitely.
That has said that a bid of 80 million euros is going in for Naby Keita.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
He also mentioned that your buddy boy, Mr. Robertson, should be a done deal.
Oh, Andy Robertson.
But not in time.
Not
in time to get him out to the pre-season friendlies in Asia.
I don't think anyone wants to go to Asia, to be honest. I'm sorry to say our Asian followers, but I think if they can, they're going to avoid traveling to Asia, the on-the-fringe players. So people who may be slightly injured or people who just need a little bit more time to recuperate, they're going to keep as many people back in Liverpool as possible. So anyway, just a thought from what I'm seeing.
But yeah, so I think, what's the other option? I mean, okay, so if we keep Emre Can, so if he turns around and says, oh, you know, I'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hang on a minute. We're linked with Oxlade-Chamberlain as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
So where are we going with this? Who's not going to see a Liverpool shirt next season? And I don't know what the answer is. Yeah. I genuinely don't know what the answer is.
That's going to be my next question to you. So
yeah, I don't know.
You've picked Coutinho, Henderson and Chieta in the starting strongest 11. So then that means that on the bench, you could have Emre Can, Adam Lallana, Wijnaldum, and Gruitch. And then Ox comes in. Who does Ox replace on the bench? I'd say Gruitch is the first one off. Then you're left with Lallana, Wijnaldum, and Can. Which one does Ox take the place of out of those three?
Okay. This is rapidly becoming one of the most difficult podcasts I think I've had to do in a long time.
Well,
wondering whether what spans off from here is we need to get the coach.
We have to get Kofinas, don't we?
And I think we need to get the four of us on a pod, and we should literally have a full-on about how we manage Liverpool FC next season, assuming X, Y, and Z happen.
Yeah.
And see where we end up. Because this is a... I don't know. I genuinely... Look, Grealish is going to end up having another season in the reserves, I'm afraid.
He is.
As horrible as that sounds.
Look, it's levels, mate. It's levels. We have to think levels from this point on. Liverpool Football Club cannot have sentimental poo when it comes to players. It is 100% about winning every single game. And my answer to all of these questions is... And I've said this in an earlier pod as well. We may end up going back to some, maybe on the bench at least, a semi-rotation policy, kind of like what Rafa had. Rafa had a full rotation policy, as you remember. Everyone got up in arms about it because it just wasn't working, even though he was adamant that it would work. But, you know, he was a cup competition master, and so he kept doing well there, and we got spoiled for glory, you know, getting top four every year and all that kind of stuff. So there's some... methods that madness, but I think that's what's going to happen, is that we're going to have a core group of 15 players for the first 11 who are always rotating. So 1 week it's going to be Ox, Lallana, Henderson to keep the English connection maybe, and then the next week it's going to be Coutinho and Jan and Wijnaldum, and the next one's Guieta and Coutinho, and anyway it's just going to keep mixing and matching. And not every single week, obviously, but, you know, when people are looking a little bit tired. And the bench, they'll always be rotating the same people on and off the bench, so it becomes quite familiar. People can jump straight in. They don't need to get used to whatever formation they're playing today. That's
all. Again, this is perhaps why we need the coach on. What does that do to a team? And if we look at some of the teams that have performed the best in the league and Premier League and in other tournaments, it tends to be the settled sides that play and perform the best without keep chopping and changing. You know,
you would think that, but I did analysis on Chelsea last year, and people like Fabregas and those guys are the most substituted on and off players in the entire team. People like Willian and Pedro and these guys. What we saw were the goals, and what we saw were the highlights predominantly because we're not watching every week. But 1 week it'll be Willian, the next week it'll be Pedro, the next week it'll be Fabregas, and the other times it'll be some other attacker. But it's actually, they rotated the same people all the time because they had a very, very strong bench and a very strong first 11. So it was always the same people. They had the highest, they had about four people, I think, who had something like 40 substitutions sort of thing. It was mental. So, and that's all competitions, obviously. So that's what they did last year. I haven't been bothered going back and analysing in detail all the other clubs, but I would absolutely love that. That's what I think.
Were they changing them for the 90 minutes, or were they just the constant substitute? One comes off, one goes on.
One comes off, one comes on. Like for like replacement. Pedro's playing now. Okay, 60 minutes, whatever. I'm going to bring on Willian. Both just as strong as each other, both just have different dynamics. It's like if we had Mane starting, Coutinho was on the left and Firmino in the middle, and then after 60 minutes, we bring on Salah for Mane. That's what it's like. So,
yeah. Wow.
It's a great option, isn't it?
Prepare for Klopp to look a lot older by the end of this season.
Speaking of, did you see Mourinho lately before he went away, I think? He looked like the most ragged dude in the world. And I think there was actually a Man United fan posted, because it was on the Man United Twitter channel. And the top comment was, give that man a sandwich. So he literally just looked like a hobo. He looked like he aged so much. An entire grey top of hair. I can't believe it. So, wow. I feel football management does for you, especially when the biggest club in inverted commas in the world. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad you put the inverted commas.
There you all say it.
I think it's going to be a very tiring season. I think it's going to be a very tough season for Jurgen.
Yeah,
I genuinely do. I think it's, hey, look, we're in turmoil here, just trying to sit and work out, and we're just fans that can just kick back and watch it go and see where we come from.
And that's it. We're not losing our job over it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, and can I say, he looks remarkably relaxed and chilled out. He doesn't look like a man who's worried that he's not getting his signings. He looks incredibly relaxed.
Yeah.
in the pre-seasons, and you know, he's even laughing and having some banter with the press, and even sort of turning around and saying, "Oh, you know, we're not signing anyone else now, and I'm happy."
Yeah,
you know, he looks a very relaxed man right now. It's whether that will change in a few
confidence,
weeks,
doesn't it? Gives us loads of confidence as fans. Gives us loads of confidence, which is super nice. Question. Sorry to give you another hard question. We signed Virgil van Dijk. Now we work out we need to have another centre back. Who do we sign?
God, what is it with you today?
Asking the tough questions. I just want the people listening to be thinking about this as well. If you're thinking they're going, okay, we signed Virgil van Dijk, yay, we're all settled, but we are not.
Well, I'll tell you what then. Anyone who's listening to this pod, go on to the Twitter sphere and find LFC Podcast, at LFC Podcasting.
No, just at Podcasting Couch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shows how much I know. At Podcasting. You can edit that bit out, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't edit, so it's all good.
I know you do. That was a little... We will put a tweet out. When I say we, I mean Ish will. And just put your comments underneath. So we'll put a tweet out asking, you know, if you had to buy another centre-back, who will it be? We won't put a vote poll up because then that means we've got to actually think of a load of centre-backs. So be interesting to see what other names come up. I think it's really, really difficult. I think it's really hard. And the reason is there aren't any – the reason why Virgil van Dijk is as much as he is and will probably end up getting as much as he gets is because there aren't that many out there.
All right, I'm writing it now as we speak. I put question time, capitals. If we do manage to sign Virgil van Dijk, but realize we need another CB.
You want to go three at the back and Lovren suddenly breaks both of his legs. Where are you going? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I suppose the other argument is, would you not put Joe Gomez in?
I think it's too big a drop in quality, to be honest. I've seen Joe Gomez. He actually looked so much more comfortable in a wing back, which makes me feel that maybe he's been considered as a left back. But as soon as he was playing, I was thinking he wasn't that great still at wing back compared to Trent or Klein. But he looked more comfortable in wing back than he has in a long time playing centre back, and that includes the under-23s when he came back from injury.
Did he start off as a centre back?
He did, yeah. He's always been a centre back, but for some reason he looks so much more comfortable and so much more useful as a wing back. But when he goes to centre back, and I've said this on my pod with the last one actually, just too many mistakes. There's always one big mistake that he seems to make in the under-23s, and I think they've all seen that too, and they're not willing to give him that opportunity to play just yet because of it. So until he smartens up a little bit and gets rid of those brain snaps, and they literally are just brain snaps. It's just a bad decision. I'm going to try to dribble around this guy when there's no one behind me to cover me if it screws up. That kind of decision. He's done that a few times now, and it's frustrating. So, yeah, that's why I think it's too big a drop in quality if we have to rely on Gomez.
Okay. Let's see what the listeners come up with.
Yeah. But realize we need to buy another CB.
Yep.
Who is your first choice? Not Koulibaly.
Be interesting to see what people come up with.
Yeah. Who's your I reckon we should put a dollar value on this, because if people say Koulibaly and stuff, it'll be the same people over and over again. It's like, but they're, you know, in today's stupid market, they're 40 million.
We need to bear in mind that we're potentially spending 80, 90 million euros on Naby Keita and 70 million quid on Virgil van Dijk, and with Simon Robertson. And, you know, the war chest that we have is starting to run a little bit dry.
Yeah, so I should say for first choice for less than 30 mil. How mental does that sound?
No more than 30 million. That's your cap.
Yeah. Done. Let's see what comes in while we're talking. Okay. Sorry to give you that horrible question, but it had to be done.
So, that's fine.
Yeah.
I was very happy to bounce it back because I genuinely just don't know the answer. I don't think, I think it's going to be really tricky.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll keep an eye on it. I've got it up on my screen. So we'll keep an eye and see if anyone responds. If anyone's out there listening.
Yeah, who are the players that have stood out the most for you in the first two preseason games?
I think for me, Coutinho looked really sharp last night.
Yeah,
I thought he looked incredibly sharp, and I was impressed by that. Who else has impressed me?
You already sent Trent before.
Yeah, Trent has been really, really good. I actually thought Flano in the first game.
Yeah,
I thought he looked pretty good.
Mm.
But I think a bit of a shocker. Did he play last night?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that's my problem. Now I can't even remember him playing, so I'm not even sure how well he did last night.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the issue, isn't it?
You have to take in mind as well, these guys did, and I was wondering, why is Firmino so awful with his touch this game, especially when he was actually quite good? I really liked how he played the first game. Then I realized, hang on, these guys have just played, even though it was only 45 minutes, these guys are playing the second game in 2 days after being drinking for, you know, a month or two. So it's as fit as they may be, it's always, you know, game fit's a whole different story, so...
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought Salah was class last night. I thought he was
great.
Really,
wasn't
really
he? Bloody hell.
He was really, really good. And I think seeing him and Mane is just, oh, it's just scary.
It's mental, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of good. Who else has impressed me?
Did you like Kent? I was a bit pissed off that Kent didn't get a run last night.
I think Kent did a Solanke. Was another who really impressed me on the first game. I thought he did really well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was very impressive. Was it Shay Ojo who went over for the pen in the first game?
Went over? No, it was Ben Woodburn.
Was it Ben Woodburn?
Yeah. Ben Woodburn went over. Ryan Kent ran up, did a dribble, passed it off to Ben Woodburn, who ran in, and he was about to shoot and got tackled from behind, and then Ben took the penalty himself and slotted it to the right-hand side. If my memory serves me,
I was thinking the first pen.
That was Milner. Oh
no,
who went over? That was Ojo. Yeah, pretty sure it was Ojo.
It was Ojo.
Yeah, but
because he impressed me in the first game. I thought Shay Ojo played really well as well.
Him and Trent were linking up very well, weren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sorry if I sound a little bit less than clued up today. It's been a very long week.
That's fine.
And the games are all starting to blur into.
You were in Wales. Yeah, it's all good. And there were both games, you know, the kickoff, the first one was 4:45 a.m. The second one last night was 4:30 a.m. Oh, boy, it was tough to watch the second half after that. But what I did like was Sturridge. I thought Sturridge had a great game last night. I saw some people saying Sturridge was crap. I'm like, well, hang on. He was very busy.
This is just haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate. I really thought he had a good game. I made him my player at the half.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree. I really, really liked him. Your responses are coming in thick and fast, my friend.
Are they?
My Lord. They are indeed.
Let's take a look.
So, let's have a look and see what we've got. this is very Red Men TV-esque, this.
I know,
this is,
right?
Like our buddy who was on the other week. What have we got? So, at by Jordan Luke is saying Sacco.
Jordan Luke's
how did you know that was going to be the first answer that came
but
up?
The thing is with him is that Jordan Luke McDonald is he's a young rider. He's done well for himself as a young rider, but he's a young rider for Manchester City. He's a huge Man City fan, so he's probably just being tongue-in-cheek.
Oh dear. Dutch at Dini? @n3_LFC,
who's that? Sounds fake.
Oh, I don't know. We'll skip. We don't know. Nadzi, our buddy Nadzi. De Vrij, Koulibaly, and Manolas, all over 30 million. Tar.
Yeah, sounds fair.
That's another option.
Cool.
Husam at Dutch Dino is saying probably De Vrij.
Yeah.
At @Amma_TRVP is saying just sell Lovren, leave Sacco to be Virgil van Dijk's backup. How about that? Dave Boone is saying, which is @Dave_Boone, why do we have Lovren, Gomez and Clavan, of which can cover any missed games and cup matches, rather spend the money elsewhere? Who else have we got? A couple more.
One of Safia the highest.
Safia Yassan is saying Emmanuel Mamana.
Yep.
Mamana.
And Saketh is turning around and he says, this is at Scatheth Scribbles. Good name. If we sign Virgil van Dijk with Matty, Lovren, Clavin and Gomez, we do not need another centre-back for this season. So it is VVD alone, all out for the top target.
Sir Trollope came up. I take it back, Kolo Touré.
Oh, they on yours. I haven't got those three yet.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm in the future, remember. It is 9:34 p.m. in Australia. So Sir Trollope actually
I'll
came
get it back. Yeah, I'll see. Yeah, take it back. Kolo Touré.
Yeah, you did say one of IXCB's. Another one, Sir Manola. There was another one.
No, Mark Oliver Kempf. His contract will run out at the end of the season, so would come on the cheap, according to at Dare to Gallo.
Yeah. Cool. Well, there you go. There's lots of options, actually. Mama. I forgot about mama.
Which used to be the McManaman chant.
Oh, really? Yeah, true. God.
Way back. That's what they used to do. It used to be McManaman.
I love it. Who's Davinson Sanchez? Ajax sold their captain for under 30, so probably could get Sanchez for similar. Mikey O'Brien LFC. Davinson Sanchez. Never heard of him.
There'll be a video out there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in the... We'll YouTube.
And if there isn't, you need to get one. Maybe that's your next video.
A Fahey official says you can have Gabriel if you want. He's obviously an Arsenal fan. No. All good. Cool.
That's definitely a top six kind of player. Bottom six.
Yeah. Yeah. He's scary. All good. Anyway, dude, I might end it there since we're all a bit out of it. I'm still a bit sick, to be honest, so it's a bit frustrating trying to get through all of this.
You look amazing, though, so don't worry about it. It doesn't show.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling hard. But yeah, thank you so much.
Is real.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, firstly, again, that you got the hoodie. So you're on point. Loving it. Looking amazing. I'll
post for a picture on that and we'll whack it online.
Yeah, that's going to be the picture of the pod. So look out for that. And yeah, thanks everyone out there for listening. Have an amazing day and night, and we'll speak to you in episode 96. Goodbye.
96.
96, kid. Lovely cushion header. Pacheco! Yakuza!